Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're focusing on something microscopic, but honestly, the implications couldn't be bigger. We're taking a deep dive into Professor Sebastian G.B. Ames's work, specifically his book Bacteria. And the goal here is to really challenge that simple idea that bacteria are just, you know, germs.
It's such a critical topic. Our mission today really is twofold. First, we want to get our heads around why these tiny organisms are, well, the true architects of life on Earth. And second, trace how our relationship with them, which is, let's face it, complex and often pretty flawed, has led us straight into the antibiotic resistance crisis.
Yeah, and Ames makes it clear this isn't some far-off future problem. It's happening right now. Think about it. Our ability to do routine surgery, transplants, hip replacements, even things like chemo. It all depends utterly on having antibiotics that actually work.
And that dependency, it's getting really shaky. We're kind of losing this evolutionary arms race against what people call superbugs. Understanding the science and maybe the strategy behind why we're losing is probably the only way we can figure out a better approach, maybe more like diplomacy than war.
Okay, so let's talk about our guide for this. Who is Professor Sebastian G.B. Ames?
Well, he's a really distinguished figure, emeritus professor of microbial chemotherapy at the University of Edinburgh Medical School. That title itself, microbial chemotherapy, tells you exactly where his focus is.
Right, so not just looking at bacteria in general, but the drugs we use against them.
Exactly. He spent over 30 years studying bacterial genetics, tracking how resistance evolves and how it spreads. All over the world. This isn't someone just theorizing. He's watched these superbugs actually emerge in hospitals. He's seen it happen.
Wow. So he's got both sides, the deep science, the fundamental biology, but also the really gritty clinical picture. It's not just lab work. It's seeing the drugs stop working over decades.
That's what makes his perspective so vital, I think. He comes at it not just as a scientist, but as the source material puts it, like a medical detective and an evolutionary strategist.
Mm-hmm.
So when he warns about a post-antibiotic era, you know, it's based on decades of real-world evidence. It carries weight.
That makes his book sound like essential reading, especially if you want to get past the scary headlines. So what's the main aim of Bacteria?
It's basically a really comprehensive introduction for, you know, the general reader to get past the fear, the hype about needing antibacterial soap for everything. It tries to give a balanced, scientifically accurate picture of these organisms.
It sounds like he's calling for a pretty big shift in thinking. Like, stop thinking we can just wipe them out in some kind of war.
Absolutely. The book sort of takes you on a journey. It starts with the bacterial cell itself, its simple elegance. Then it zooms out to their huge role as global engineers, you know, running the planet's basic cycles. And finally, it focuses in on our relationship with them, which is incredibly complex and intimate, really.
The core point being, bacteria aren't just some annoying pests on the side. They're the foundation, the bedrock of life. So the book gives this nuanced picture, their good side, like our microbiome, but also the dangers, the pathogens, and this huge issue of resistance.
Yeah, and the ultimate goal is really to argue for smart management. Since bacteria are basically eternal, we can't win a war. We need to shift to a mindset of maybe respectful coexistence, smarter, more sustainable strategies.
Okay, to really get why this crisis is so deep, we need to grasp just how old they are. Billions of years old. This section Ames calls the unseen architect.
That's the number, 3.5 billion years. They're the oldest life forms and definitely the most successful. They've survived everything, colonized everywhere. They are the ultimate survivors, really.
And here's the bit that really gets you the aha moment from the text. They literally made the air we breathe.
That's right. Ancient cyanobacteria, through evolution, pumped out oxygen, the great oxygenation event. It completely changed the atmosphere. Without that, complex life, like us, multicellular life, it just wouldn't exist. They didn't just come first. They actually paved the way for us.
And their basic design, prokaryotes, it's simpler, maybe more efficient than our eukaryotic cells. They've got this rigid cell wall protecting them, something our cells don't have.
Which is super important. That cell wall is precisely what drugs like penicillin target. If you can target something unique to the bacteria, you get a magic bullet, kills the bug, but mostly leaves our own cells alone.
That same simplicity, that feature we could target, is also something they've learned to adapt around, which brings us to how they adapt. Their evolutionary superpower. They reproduce incredibly fast, right? Binary fission.
Yeah, light and fast growth means evolution on warp speed compared to us. But Amy's points to something even more powerful when it comes to resistance, something beyond just fast growth. What's that mechanism again?
Ah, yes, the really critical concept, horizontal gene transfer, HGT. They don't just pass genes down to their kids vertically.
No, it's like a global internet of genes. They can share fully formed genetic upgrades, like resistance software, directly with totally different bacteria species. They use these little circular bits of DNA called plasmids to do it.
Like tiny USB drives, carrying instructions for, say, how to neutralize penicillin. And another bacterium can just pick it up and use it straight away, plug and play resistance.
What's fascinating and kind of scary is the implication. It means resistance isn't just one patient's problem in one hospital. It's networked. It's global. A resistant gene popping up in livestock somewhere could, theoretically, end up in a human pathogen on the other side of the world pretty quickly.
That is sobering. But we have to remember, most of this vast bacterial power isn't aimed at us. They're mostly doing beneficial things, which leads to their role as essential partners. Earth's engineers, really.
Oh, absolutely fundamental for the environment. The classic example is nitrogen fixation. Bacteria are the only things that can take nitrogen gas from the air, which plants can't use, and turn it into forms they can use. Without them doing that, no agriculture, no food chain as we know it, it would collapse.
And then there's the partnership inside us, the human microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely not sterile beings. We're walking, talking ecosystems, trillions of microbes living on and in us.
And they're doing essential jobs, helping digestion, making vitamins we need, like K and B12. And this is crucial. They actually train our immune system. Our health really depends on the ecological balance of all these microbial partners.
The perfect example of this duality is E. coli. Most strains, totally harmless, even helpful in our gut.
Mm.
But Amy's points out that some strains, like the notorious O157 BRD H7, well, they just picked up some nasty virulence genes through HGT. That's what turned them deadly. It's about the genes they carry, not the species itself being inherently bad.
Right, this dual nature, helpful one minute, potentially deadly the next if it gets the wrong genes. That's maybe why we got a bit overconfident when Fleming found penicillin, the magic bullet. Which brings us right to the paradox and the crisis.
Yeah, the antibiotic revolution was amazing, truly transformative. These drugs saved millions, enabled modern medicine as we know it, invasive surgery, transplants. All possible because of antibiotics.
But here's the paradox Amy's lays out. Our greatest weapon is actually driving our greatest weakness. Resistance, he explains, isn't surprising. It's natural selection. It's evolution 101. When you use an antibiotic, you create this intense selective pressure. You kill off all the susceptible bacteria,
leaving only the few random mutants that happen to be resistant. And then they multiply like crazy.
Exactly. And we've just put that process on steroids through misuse, demanding antibiotics for viruses where they do nothing, and critically, using tons of them in agriculture, often just to make animals grow faster.
The classic case study is MRSA, right? Methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. It basically grew up in hospitals, environments soaked in antibiotics.
A perfect, chilling example of how fast these superbugs evolve under pressure. It's the proof, really, that we're losing this arms race. Badly.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. Let's try and distill the big messages, the core themes Amy's wants us to grasp.
I think the first big one is what we touched on earlier. We need a diplomacy strategy, not a war strategy. We have to move past trying to just eradicate them. They're ancient, they're everywhere, they're permanent. Our survival depends on finding intelligent ways to coexist.
And the practical takeaway from that, be smarter about hygiene. Maybe lay off the antibacterial hand soap unless you really need it. Protect the good bacteria that are actually protecting us.
Second big theme, embrace the idea of the superorganism. We aren't just human cells. Our health is deeply tied to our microbial partners. We're ecosystems walking around.
Right, which gives us a clear reason to eat well, lots of fiber, diverse foods. That's what feeds our gut microbiome and keeps it healthy and diverse. Support your allies.
And third, framing this whole crisis as the global tragedy of the commons. Resistance isn't just your problem or my problem. It's a shared global resource issue. Misuse anywhere affects everyone eventually.
Which means individual actions matter. Every time you don't push for antibiotics for a cold, or you actually finish the full course when you do need them,
yeah,
you're doing your bit. You're practicing global stewardship, slowing down that selection pressure.
Yeah, and Amy's packs the book with these really powerful ways of thinking about it, memorable ideas that kind of flip the script on our relationship with bacteria.
Like the first one, bacteria are not the enemies of life. They are the enablers of life.
That really forces you to respect their foundational role, doesn't it? They built the stage we're playing on.
And then this very sobering one. The age of antibiotics may be ending, but the age of bacteria is eternal.
Oof. Yeah, that's a stark reminder, isn't it? Bacterial resilience versus, well, maybe the temporary nature of our tech fixes. Our drugs have expiry dates, bacteria don't.
I really like the humility in this one. We live in a bacterial world. We are merely tourists with extended visas.
Yeah, puts us in our place. Challenges that idea that we're the center of everything. We're just visitors here, really.
And finally, understanding bacteria is not just about understanding disease. It's about understanding life itself. It just broadens the whole scope. It's bigger than just medicine.
And these aren't just philosophical points. They have direct, real-world applications, especially for you, the listener, when interacting with healthcare.
Definitely. The most immediate one is becoming a smarter patient steward. Knowing antibiotics don't work on viruses, colds, flus, most coughs, means you can avoid asking your doctor for them when they aren't needed. That small act, resisting that urge, genuinely helps on a global scale. It reduces unnecessary selective pressure.
And thinking bigger, on a policy level, understanding how antibiotic use in farming affects human health makes you realize why regulations matter. When you hear about restricting antibiotics in livestock, you know, that's not just some abstract rule. It's potentially protecting your ability to fight off an infection later. It's connected.
Plus, there's the environmental angle. Respecting bacteria's role in soil, in nutrient cycles, it just leads to better environmental thinking overall. We need them for a healthy planet, not just healthy bodies.
You know, what really struck me rereading this material was the sheer power and, well, elegance of horizontal gene transfer. It just makes that whole war on germs idea seem kind of futile. We absolutely need a different strategy. Diplomacy, management, call it what you will, but not simple eradication. That feels like the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah, and for me, it was that paradigm shift, thinking of ourselves as a superorganism, that our wellness depends on ecological balance inside us, not on achieving some kind of sterile state. It reframes health completely. It's not about fighting invaders so much as tending a garden, an internal ecosystem.
So, as you go about your day, thinking about this invisible world all around and inside you, here's something Amy's touches on future solutions, a provocative thought to leave you with. In a potential post-antibiotic future, which of the innovative strategies being explored, things like phage therapy that uses viruses to kill bacteria, or maybe drugs that disarm bacteria instead of killing them outright, which of these will actually redefine how we manage these essential but sometimes dangerous microbial partners?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Icatra Foundation.